down towards the near corner. Cody Eakin goes in shorthanded, feeds in front, score! It's Carlson! William Carlson shorthanded. Miller right point shot, score! Tipped out in front, and it's 4-0 Vegas. Here comes Lindbergh, going to get ahead of the defense. He pulls it away, goes circle, he shoots, he scores! Oscar Lindbergh! Now a breakaway, here's David Perron, all by himself, the righty down the middle, fakes, backhand score! David Perron, 1-0 Vegas! Here's Hunt, setting up his man in front, Carrier, score! It's his first goal, William Carrier, 7-0 Vegas!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Clayton Hamilton here along with Chris Chapman behind the board. We're getting halfway through the bye week. Boys return to practice on Friday. That'll be a 4 o'clock practice up at City National Arena. And Saturday, they will welcome Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers to town, get the second half of the season underway. A team coming in at 29-10-2, 60 points on the ledger. Bit of news for the Golden Knights today, and that is James Neal and Marc-Andre Fleury named to the Pacific Division All-Star team. So congratulations to both James Neal and to Marc-Andre Fleury. But we've got a busy day of things to get to. We have some tickets to give away, so stick around for that Edmonton game. But we also want to talk about some of the teams around the Western Conference, so the Pacific Division in particular, and see what they're up to on their bye week and what things hold in store for them as the second half of the season gets underway. And we're real happy to have Sean Leahy from Pro Hockey Talk and NBC Sports joining us to help us get around the league. Welcome, Sean.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Great, thank you.
Are you have you thawed out there on the East Coast?
You know, this week it's going to be up into the 40s, so I'm thinking about breaking out the swim trunks and maybe enjoying the sunshine as the snow melts.
Nice. Just don't be the guy that jumps into the frozen pool.
No, definitely not. Might get a little frostbite after that.
Well, it's been a beginning to the season, particularly from us out here in Las Vegas. Last time we talked to you was right around Halloween or so, when the Golden Knights didn't know who their goaltender was going to be. They were running a whole bunch of different guys in there, had a bit of a weak East Coast trip, but since then things have certainly turned around for the Golden Knights, and it's great to have Marc-Andre Fleury back.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we can stop with are the Golden Knights for real stories, because it's clear they are. And if at any point in the season they were going to fall off a cliff, it would have been when Fleury was out for those 2 months. And, you know, they were just throwing guys in pretty much off the street to play a goal. But we all know they're one of the best stories, and probably the best story this season so far in the NHL. And, you know, just well-coached, great balanced roster. And I think there's no question, one, that Gerard Gallant is going to win the Jack Adams Award in June, and two, there's no question that Vegas is going to at least make the playoffs, and it's going to be very interesting to see what they do when they get there, just how far they can go with this team, with, you know, just a bunch of guys who label themselves as cast-offs and rejects, and, you know, their team last year didn't want them anymore, and now they've come together and bonded as a group very quickly since the start of the season, and it's just been really fun to see them, you know, play so consistently well since the start of the year.
They have played well with very few exceptions, and one of those exceptions was when they went up to Edmonton and just got taken to the woodshed by the Oilers. And that's been kind of an aberration for both squads, because the Golden Knights have been so good and the Edmonton Oilers have been so very bad. They are 18-23-3, 39 points on the ledger, 9 points out of the second wild card. And when you think about the playoffs and the Oilers, and it probably taken about 94 points or so, Sean, for them to get into the playoffs, they're on pace for about 74.
Yeah, and, you know, they for as good as a second half they can have, they also need to rely on the teams ahead of them to stumble and have some cold streaks, like the Ducks, the Avs, the Flames, the Wild, the Blackhawks, and the Stars. teams that, you know, most of those teams that we expect to have, you know, very strong second halves, especially Anaheim and Chicago, veteran teams that have had deep runs in the playoffs the last several years. But I think we're getting pretty close to just turning out the lights on this Oilers season and having them kind of look towards next year. It's going to be very interesting to see just how soon Peter Chiarelli makes the decision whether to make a trade or two for next year or to salvage this year. We got the trade deadline come up on 26. There's a lot of holes in that roster. Cam Talbot, and that has not been the Cam Talbot that he was last year, who was fantastic. They're missing guys like Jordan Eberle on the wing, Taylor Hall on the wing. Connor McDavid cannot do everything himself. You know, Leon Draisaitl is having an okay season. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is playing well. But beyond that, the guys that they brought in, Patrick Maroon, Ryan Strome, Milan Lucic, you know, that secondary spring that you need to be a competitive team, especially in the Western Conference, especially given how tight it is with the playoff spots there, those guys are not stepping up for them. And right now it's resulted in a disastrous season. Their special teams is horrendous. Their penalty kill is one of the worst right now of all time since the NHL started tracking that category. So right now it's just a really mixture. And it's going to be curious to see just how long Todd McClellan lasts, if he lasts through the season, and also Peter Chiarelli, if there's any kind of, if his season is getting kind of hot, and if owner Darryl Cates wants to make a big time sweep in the executive offices before or maybe even after the end of the regular season.
Sean Leahy from Pro Hockey Talk and NBC Sports joining the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. And when you talk about the dumpster fire that is the Edmonton Oilers, they've lost 7 of their last 8. I mean, the Predators have beaten them 11 straight times. Is it a question of them underachieving this year, or did they overachieve last year? This has been a franchise that it's been 17 years since they've made the playoffs in back-to-back years. So this is kind of, I guess, who they are. But is it surprising that this is who they are?
No, I think they certainly missed some pieces. Like I said, they missed Jordan Eberle, who was a solid player there. Is having a great year with the Islanders, and they got back Ryan Strome in return, who is not having a similar year like Eberle. They're not getting that return on their investment there. But I think it's just kind of a culmination of the last several years of some free agent moves that just haven't panned out. You know, the Milan Lucic deal, they're paying him a lot of money for a lot of years, and he's not a guy that's going to score you 30, 40 goals. He'll bring a physical element to the game, but he's not one of those secondary guys that you want to rely on. And also, really, which really makes this a disastrous season, this is the last year that you're going to get Connor McDavid on the cheap. His salary and his cap is going to bump up from just a little over $900,000 to over $12 million next season. And the salary cap thing may go up, you know, a couple million bucks next season, which is good. But you're trying to build a competitive team around that, and you have one guy making $12 million, and Leon Draisaitl and also Milan Lucic taking up a lot of that cash as well, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins with $6 million. You know, having a few guys tie up a lot of that money is really going to make it tough for Peter Chiarelli, if he's still around next season, to build around those guys to be competitive next year, especially when you have teams in Western Conference that are up and coming and getting better every single year.
There's been a lot of rumors about some roster moves perhaps that they will make before the trade deadline. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins tends to be the number one trade bait guy that's out there on the block. But there's also been some talk about maybe moving Patrick Maroon or Mark Letestu, both of those guys pending free agents. What do you see the Oilers doing come trade deadline?
I think the smart thing would be to keep Nugent-Hopkins because you don't want to have another Jordan Eberle, Taylor Hall situation where you know, they're on a decent contract, came away, and they have great success away from Edmonton, and what you bring back, the assets you bring back, don't match that. So, yeah, I think Letestu and Maroon would be obvious choices, especially the Oilers are kind of where they are now in a month's time, where they're out of the playoff spot, and Chiarelli's just looking to get something in return for guys with expiring contracts. Same thing with Mike Camilleri. He's a veteran. He's on the cheap. So if a team is looking for some depth on the wing, you know, he could be a potential you know, piece of trade bait as well. But everything else, it's going to be some tough decisions for Chiarelli. Does he break up the core, make that Nugent-Hopkins trade perhaps? But there's a lot of tough decisions there because you know, you have Connor McDavid, still very, very young in this league. He's going to be very, very good for a very long time. and you want to make the most out of the next several years as he keeps getting better, better and better, because you do not want to waste these years of McDavid's career, because you get a look at Crosby and Pittsburgh, you look at other young stars around the league, how those teams have built around those superstars, and right now Chiarelli's done a poor job of doing that with McDavid at Edmonton.
When the fan base gets riled up there, I would say it's probably like a 40-40-20 split of where they place the blame. 40 on Peter Chiarelli, 40% on Todd McClellan, 20% on everybody that's on the roster that's not named Connor McDavid. Where do you fall, and who's to blame for what's happened to them?
I think you got to look at Chiarelli. I mean, you just kind of look at his past deals, especially when he was in Boston trading away Tyler Seguin. He has this knack for trading away young talent for who are excelling where they are and bringing back a return that's not even equal to that. And it happened with Jordan Eberle so far. It happened with Seguin in Boston. And, you know, the team he's building here is just not one that is going to – right now, on paper, it doesn't look like it's going to be competitive for the next couple of years, especially when you look at some of the other teams in Western Conference that they got to battle with, you know, year in and year out. You know, a lot of those teams have young talent that are developing that are still on the cheap, so their GMs are able to build around them and make them competitive. And you look at Edmonton, you know, especially starting next year with McDavid's salary going up, Drysdale's got a heavy contract. It's going to be tough. They're going to need to have young talent coming through their system, guys coming up from Bakersfield, other draft picks as well, maybe some cheap free agent signings. They're going to need to play above their heads, those second and third tier guys, in order for the Oilers to have success in the future.
Some of those other teams that you alluded to in the Pacific Division, San Jose and Anaheim, the Sharks are 21-13-6 with 48 points on the ledger, third in the Pacific, and the Ducks right behind them at 19-15-9, 47 points, just 1 point out of that second wild card. The Ducks have played three more games than the Sharks, but if you were one of the two of those organizations, who would you want to be? Who's in the better position for the second half run?
Boy, that's a really good question, because the Sharks, you know, they're still a very good team, some quality veterans. Joe Thornton scoring goals this year. He's obviously been known as a passer in the previous years, but now he's got 8 goals on the year. They have a good balanced offense. Martin Jones is solid again in that. But I've been really high on the Ducks all season. I know they've been banged up the last several months, but they're getting healthy. And you know, I think with the way John Gibson's playing goal, the way Ryan Miller's been able to give him a breather every couple of nights and provide a adequate goaltending as a backup, and getting Getzlaff back healthy, Kessler back healthy, they've had a very strong defense core out there in Anaheim for several years now. But I think once they're fully healthy, to me, I see the Ducks as kind of a dark horse sleeper out of the Western Conference. And, you know, the second half's going to be interesting to see just, you know, with the ground that they got to, you know, make up to either grab one of the wild card spots or find a way to get back into the Pacific Division hunt. But, you know, I like the Sharks, but I definitely would choose the Ducks a little bit more than San Jose at the moment.
Sean Leahy of Pro Hockey Talk and NBC Sports joining the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. And, Sean, we were really happy with the decision that the Ducks made to let Shea Theodore go and come to the Vegas Golden Knights. And a lot of that was precipitated by the fact that the Ducks didn't want to get rid of Sammy Vatanen. They wanted to hold on to him. And the irony of it that they ditch him a quarter of the way into the season to New Jersey for Adam Henrique. So now they don't have Vatanen, they don't have Shea Theodore, they have Adam Henrique. How would you grade that decision and the way that it panned out for the Ducks?
Yeah, it's always a tough decision, especially when you're looking at the future. You're looking at contracts. You're looking at what you may have to pay guys like a Sammy Vatanen in the future, and how that might fit into your salary cap picture. And you know, certainly the Ducks needed some help, especially down the middle when they traded for Henrique. They were just ravaged with injuries. They were having third and fourth line guys, first line minutes. So in order to get a guy like Henrique, who now that they're getting healthy, will be a really good depth piece for them down the middle of that roster. They had to give up a guy like Sammy Vatanen, who is obviously a 26-year-old defenseman. You know, he's played well, but he does have a pretty decent-sized contract with a couple of years left on it, while Henrique is a UFA after this season. So there's flexibility now there for Bob Murray going forward, whatever he wants to do with Henrique. So it's tough when you're making those decisions with when you're a GM. You know, you get something good to get something good, and the Ducks were in a very tough spot at the moment, and Ray Shearer was able to take advantage and get himself a nice young defenseman who is really going to round out, you know, be a nice piece to that core there.
On the San Jose front, Brent Burns, 7 goals, 23 assists, 30 points in his 40 games, but he is a minus 19, and the fan base is growling a bit that perhaps he should return to forward. Do you think that is a possibility that they will give up on him as the defenseman and move him back to forward?
No, I don't. I think we're beyond those days. I think if he does ever play forward again, it's because the Sharks are in a very tight spot and need a presence there. But you know, he's had so much success as a defenseman since he left Minnesota and went to San Jose. Then we know what kind of offense he can provide from the back end. Maybe he's not going to be winning multiple Norris trophies going forward, but. Especially as he's getting older now and his contract is getting bigger and kicking in, he may not be the same defenseman as he was, but he's still an offensive threat there from the back. Still has a great shot from the point, which is huge on the power play. So I think it's just they're going to have to work through this rough patch now. And I think from what we've seen of Brent Burns and what we know of him as a player, I think he'll be just fine.
I like it. Sean Leahy disagreeing with the San Jose Twitterverse that likes to overreact. The Sharks felt like if they were going to be good, they would need some production from Tomas Hertl and from Chris Tierney, Timo Meier. Hertl's been great. Tierney's been okay. Timo Meier, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you look at the Sharks and, if they're getting some of that better secondary scoring, would they be closer to Vegas in that division? Would they, would they at least be ahead of LA at the moment? And, guys like Timo Meier, those are the guys that you're looking for to provide that secondary score. It can't just always be the Pavelskis and the Hurdles and the Thorntons and the Couture and the Brent Burns every night. And, when they went to the Stanley Cup final a couple of years ago, they were getting that depth production from guys, which is why they had a great run. So if they're going to maintain their playoff spot, move up, they need that secondary scoring from guys like Timo Meier, Melker Carlson, and guys like Tierney and Hertl, obviously, to keep up the production that they've done through the first half.
If it weren't for the Golden Knights, maybe the best story in the West would be the Colorado Avalanche, Sean. They were 22-56-4, 48 points last year. Thus far, they are already 22-16-3, 47 points. They're bunched with Chicago, Calgary, Minnesota, Anaheim right there hovering around that last wild card spot. There's been a number of people that have told me, forget about Colorado. They're not really a good story. We're not going to see anything out of them in the second half. Do you agree or disagree with them? Are they a good story?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they're one of the best offenses in the league. They've won 5 in a row. You'd like to see a little better goaltending from Varlamov and Bernier if they're going to, move up in the standings and grab a wild card spot or find a spot in division seedings there. But, they've had a great offense. Nathan McKinnon's a Hart Trophy candidate. Mikko Rantanen is really developing to a nice young star. Same thing for Alexander Kerfoot as well. And also, I think a lot of this jump from last year, you can credit to Jared Bednar. For last year, he was kind of thrown into the situation because Patrick Roy, with that late resignation this summer, took the job coming over from Cleveland, and obviously had a disastrous season. But now he had a year under his belt, a full off season to plan and develop and put his system into place. I think the results are showing, and maybe they don't make the playoffs this year, but there's certainly a lot of signs there that show that there's some good things happening out there in Colorado, and they're not the dumpster fire that they were last season.
There's a lot of criticism going into the Matt Duchene trade that they were just going to get fleeced because everybody knew they were trying to move him. As you look at it with what they got back, plus the draft picks, the success that they have, would you call this a win for Colorado, a win for Nashville, and a loss for Ottawa?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, Matt Duchene hasn't been that game-changing forward that many people expected going to Ottawa. Kyle Turris has been fantastic since before and after the trade, and really given Nashville another great option down the middle, which did them well in the playoffs. And credit to Joe Sakic. I mean, how long have we heard the Matt Duchene rumors? It seems like it's been like 12 months, 16 months, of rumors whether or not they're going to trade him. And he waited and waited and waited, waited for the right deal. And he got a slew of assets which are going to help this Colorado team going forward. Like I said, maybe they don't make the playoffs this year, but they have some nice pieces in their organization, plus the draft picks that they can either use now, like guys like Sam Girard, and help develop them for the future, or like those draft picks and those prospects, flip them in either at the deadline or at the draft or in the offseason to bring in some other players that can kind of fill some holes in that roster.
And even more amazing, how often have we heard full credit to Joe Sakic? Because
you don't hear it too often, not, for sure.
Not at all. One other team I'd like to look out there out in the East, the Boston Bruins, 23-10-7, 53-point second in the Atlantic, has been the hottest team as of late, 17-3-3 over the last 2 months. Is Boston for real?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, Tuukka Rask has been playing well, and David, it's great to see David Backes. Just a month or so since getting part of his colon removed, back on the ice, and he doesn't look like he's missed a step. But then you have obviously the leaders on that team, right? You got the Brad Marchands, Patrice Bergeron. You know what they're going to bring every night. You got David Pastrnak, the next star on that roster, and also you have a guy who, if maybe in any other year, if the Twitter race wasn't as crowded, might be getting some more love in Danton Heinen with 10 goals and 30 points, kind of putting up a very quiet, great rookie year. And then the guy who I'm most impressed with, who is also a fellow Long Islander, is Charlie McAvoy. This kid came in, his first NHL game was a playoff game, and he's been placed alongside Zdeno Chara. He's the only rookie playing over 20 minutes a night in the league, and he's excelling. For a head coach to put that much trust in a 19, 20-year-old kid to be the first pairing D, the first pairing D with a guy like Zdeno Chara, that shows you just how special this kid is. And he's one of the many reasons why that team succeeding. They're getting so much balanced offense, great defense. Tuukka Rask is playing well, like I said, and credit to Bruce Cassidy, who's done a great job there in turning things around. It was looking like they're getting off to a bit of a slow start, but they've won 8 of their last 10 and putting themselves in a great position to kind of stay in the playoff picture in the Atlantic and also the wildcard spots in the Eastern Conference. But right now, they may not leapfrog the Lightning considering the way that Tampa's been playing this season, but they look to be pretty cemented in that second or third spot there in the Atlantic Division.
That Boston has to feel good about the way that Jake DeBrusk has played, and Charlie McAvoy too, because they have that such reputation of getting rid of elite players too early. But I'm like you. I love Charlie McAvoy, and I love his game, and I understand the fascination and the love of the Brock Bessers and the Matt Barzals and the Clayton Kellers and for what they do on the offensive side, but should Charlie McAvoy get some serious consideration and votes for Rookie of the Year?
Oh, totally. Right now, we're going to have a post tomorrow on PHT with our midseason award picks, and McAvoy is going to be one of my top three along with Matt Barzal and Brock Besser. I think you look at Rookie of the Year and people automatically go look at forwards, right? You look at the goals, you look at the stats, and Besser and Barzal obviously have that. Defenseman, they're not necessarily going to have those high stats, of course, but you look at the rest of the numbers. You look at the minutes played with Charlie McAvoy. You look at the situations he's being put in and excelling in for such a young player. It's incredibly impressive for him. He's 5 goals, 21 points, over 22 minutes per night. It's not 23 goals or whatever Brock Besser has and 20-plus goals like Matt Barzal, but as a defenseman, as a young kid in this league, that's just as impressive what those forwards are doing.
Well, thank you, Sean, for joining us. I truly appreciate every time I get to talk to you. Chock full of information. And for people that want more Sean Leahy, where can they find you?
It's on Twitter, Sean_Leahy, and check us out at NBC Pro Hockey Talk.
Excellent. Are you going to make it out to Vegas at all this season?
I would love to. I've never been to Vegas, so I would certainly love to make my first trip out there. Include some hockey while I'm out there as well. But I'm looking forward to it. If not this year, then I'm pretty sure you guys will be getting an All-Star game within the next two seasons for sure.
Excellent. Well, whenever you come to town, just shoot me a message. Let me know. We'll get you on the show either here or out at the arena on one of the pre or post game shows. We always love talking to you.
You got it. Absolutely. Great to talk to you as well.
All right. Thank you. That was Sean Leahy from Pro Hockey Talk, NBC Sports. Always full of information. Love having him here. Check him out on Twitter. Check him out at NBC.com. All the latest news and information from around the league. Always a good read. Lots more to get to here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. We've got some tickets to give away. We're going to do that in a little bit. Plus, we're going to talk all-star selections with Chris Chapman when we come back right here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
Det här är William Karlsson och du lyssnar på Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show med Frank Harnish på Fox Sports Radio 98,9 FM och 1430 AM. Ditt hem för Golden Knights hockey i Las Vegas.
How's the food there? I mean, is it close to home? Is it just okay? Like, I bought meatballs there recently, but I don't know if they're real or not.
It's all right. We occasionally have the IKEA lunch, me and Dansk, so it's not exactly like the IKEA back home, but it's somewhat similar, yeah.
Steen, that didn't connect. Back the other way comes Smith. He's got Carlson looking to join him. Smith over the blue line, left side. Not a Carlson, and he scores! Ryan Carlson, first of the year, wins it an OT, 3-2. Minute to go on the Islander power play. Their second in the opening 9.5 minutes. Score! Carlson in front on a bang-bang play, shorthanded, and the Islanders give up yet another shorthanded goal, their sixth of the season.
They have some guys who can score. One of them is Riley Smith. He's with Carlson in front. He scores! Miller up the middle. Poke checked at the blue line, turned back. Marincin, the puck stopped behind the net. Marcia show out front, score! William Carlson on a turnover, and it is a 4-1 game now. Nylander wins the draw back with some help from Zach Hyman. Morgan Riley's shot hit Connor Brown, who was parked in front of the net. Carlson for the hat trick, diving, scores! First ever Golden Knight hat trick.
Carlson with a shot, he scores! Four goals in the last three games for William Carlson. This one comes 55 seconds in. Well, the Golden Knights with a 2-0 lead in the first, and I shorted Brendan Leipzig an assist. He's got six helpers now. Right out in front, loose puck, score! William Carlson on the doorstep was there again. It's been all Golden Knights in the opening 11.5 minutes. Smith has it in front and a good save. Rebound score! Carlson on the follow-up after Jones made the first save on Tuck. And there's William Carlson yet again. Marcia still along. Richard tip score! William Carlson, who else? Tips it in. That's a dozen goals on the air and a 4-1 lead.
And welcome back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton and Chris Chapman with mixed feelings about the breaking news today. Some happiness, some sadness. Let us start with that which is happy. Marc-Andre Fleury, James Neal, both named to the All-Star team. They're going to be headed to Tampa representing the Pacific Division, playing for head coach Gerard Gallant, who will be there as well. But some sadness, some snubbery. Jonathan Marchessault not invited to the All-Star game. And William Carlson, despite his 22 goals, his 14 assists, his 36 points, his plus-minus of 20, including all of the firsts that he's had for the Golden Knights, the first shorthanded goal, the first hat trick, first win in overtime. He will not be headed to the All-Star game. And that, my friends, is crap, because William Karlsson is an All-Star in our hearts and on the ice.
Yeah, I don't know who was watching this Golden Knights team, but for William Karlsson to not be there, I mean, there's a couple of other guys around the NHL who certainly also are feeling snubbed as well. But, you know, it hits home here because, obviously, with our team here in Vegas, we know how good of a player William Karlsson is. We know how deserving he is. And there's a guy, maybe a couple of guys that we could find that probably don't deserve to be there that are there. You know, there maybe were some guys in the Ducks who were more deserving than Raquel. But what are you going to do? You know, I mean, to be fair, Karlsson and Marchessault are both named as alternates, but that's not really quite the same thing. It's a little disappointing, I would imagine.
The Pacific Division All-Star team on the forward line, Brock Besser from Vancouver. Certainly no arguments there.
No, great player. Probably the rookie of the year.
Johnny Gaudreau from the Flames. Certainly no arguments there.
Nope, great player.
Connor McDavid, who was voted in as the captain by the fans, so he must be there. No complaints.
Yeah, the fans should certainly have a say.
Right, James Neal. He's our Vegas Golden Knight. We're very happy for him. Excellent. Good on you. Third All-Star appearance for James Neal.
Although I would imagine there might be some people around the NHL who say that James Neal probably doesn't deserve to be there.
It's a great question. James Neal, 18 goals, 11 assists, 29 points. Certainly All-Star-like numbers. Anze Kopitar, he comes in 17 goals, 27 assists, 44 points. A plus 15. When you look at Anze Kopitar compared to Jonathan Marchessault, 16 goals, 24 assists, 40 points, plus 17.
I think I'm
okay with it compared to Marchessault. Well, I'm not okay with it compared to William Karlsson.
Where I'm not okay with it is the fact that the Kings also have two other guys on the roster.
Kings get three guys in. They also have Drew Doughty, Jonathan Quick. To round out the forwards, this is where the problem is. Rickard Rakell from Anaheim, 15 goals, 16 assists, 31 points, plus minus of negative 6. So 15 goals, William Karlsson, 22. 16 assists to 14 by William Karlsson, 31 overall points to 36. Plus minus. Rickard Rakell, minus 6. William Karlsson, plus 20.
Yeah, it's not even debatable. However, obviously the NHL with the rule that every team must be represented, although I do think that maybe there were some different things that they could have done with the lineup.
Not every team must be represented. That's a baseball thing only. Is it not? Isn't that not?
No, every team has a player represented, yeah. Including the lowly
Arizona there.
Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
I missed Oliver Ekman-Larsson here on the list.
He's my guy, though.
I like Oliver Ekman-Larsson. No problem there. Problem is, like I said, three Kings to two Vegas Golden Knights. And if you have to have everybody there, fine. Why not have Gibson as your goaltender to satisfy your duck and let William Karlsson go?
Yes, I think that's fair. The question is, who would you remove from goalie? Marc-Andre Fleury or Jonathan Quick?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think Marc-Andre Fleury would probably be the first guy to tell you he's happy he's there, I'm sure. But, you know, some of the things that we heard him say in the locker room indicate that he probably wasn't sure if he actually deserved to be there or not. And based on the fact, now how his play on the ice certainly dictates he's an All-Star. But when you factor in, he's missed 25 of 41 games.
Mm-hmm. And that's the surprising thing. And I think if you ask him, we talked to Marc-Andre Fleury about it, so it's not like we're trying to dive into his head.
Yes.
He's probably the most shocked person that there is that he made it, because he was like, I missed a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, like we said, his play on the ice certainly dictates he deserves to be there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But when you factor in he's only played 16 games or thereabouts, or he has not played 25 games, I should say,
right,
due to the injury, as well as some others just due to letting Malcolm Subban get some action. I don't know if the body of work is there to say you're an All-Star.
And when you're trying to do the math in order to make sure that every team is represented plus the most deserving players get there, that is certainly an option to send Gibson to satisfy the Ducks and for for William Karlsson to make the All-Star team. He is an alternate, though. We have seen that people have been unable to attend. So we may, in fact, get William Karlsson to the All-Star game. But, boy, does he deserve it. Boy, if there's anybody that should be at that All-Star game, man, it should be William Karlsson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's disappointing because the guy's having a career year.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's doing is he's not, and I would never say single-handedly, but he is a very, very big part of the reason why the Golden Knights are in the situation that they're in. I mean, 60 points, first place in the Pacific Division. They should probably have a little bit more representation than the LA Kings. Now, I understand there's probably a little bit of a popularity contest, guys getting in based on their name, not necessarily their merits, but it's hard to argue against Jonathan Quick. It's hard to argue against Drew Doughty. I'm not so sure Anze Kopitar is an all-star. Certainly not ahead of William Karlsson.
Right. I can see it. Like I said, if you want to make the case, Anze Kopitar over Jonathan Marchessault, 50-50, I can see that. I'm okay with it. I'm not going to go crazy. But over William Karlsson,
yeah.
I can't see it.
And this is it's funny. This is a relatively new thing for both of us because we've never had Major League Sports here. We've never really been part of an all-star game, so to speak, mm-hmm. where we've had representation. And it's just odd to me that in the city where we have two players going to the all-star game, we're not so sure that they got the right players. You know, and it's weird kind of talking about it because I certainly don't want to knock James Neal because he's had a fantastic season so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he helped the team win some of those early games. I mean, certainly the first game in history when they beat Dallas,
right.
James Neal played a huge role in that. So, you know, it's weird to because I don't want to say he doesn't deserve to be there. I'm just going to say that William Karlsson is probably more deserving than James Neal to be there.
It is interesting. I said full marks and so happy for James Neal and for Marc-Andre Fleury. But the question becomes, and how do you not have William Karlsson there, and then what decisions need to be made in order to get him there? And that's, I just think there was other ways to configure this all-star team, especially when you consider, like I said, what the format is, that Ricard Raquel, not really your three-on-three master.
Well, that's the other thing. The fact that William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault have excelled in the three-on-three format
right.
this entire season. I mean, multiple game winners, a couple of overtime winners for both of those guys. You know, that format seems like it would have been suited. And for Gallant, he could have had the real easy decision of just leaving the two of them together mm-hmm. and putting someone else in there to play with them. And they would have had a very, very good team with those three guys on the ice.
Yeah, they would have. That would have been spectacular. A couple of other things of note on the All-Star team. Jack Eichel, Buffalo, makes his first All-Star game.
The only Sabre.
Yeah, Alexander Barkov as well, and he's had he's been a shining light there for Florida, who has struggled. So congratulations to him. And Andrei Vasilevskiy, who's been so important to Tampa Bay, is making his first as well.
That team is really good. And, you know, it's funny because Tampa Bay has four guys
mm-hmm.
represented in their Atlantic Division. Panthers only get one. Buffalo only gets one. The Bruins only get one. The Red Wings only get one. The Senators only get one. The Canadiens only get one. Maple Leafs also with one. So most of those guys are from one team, and you know, right. and every other team. It's funny. Erik Karlsson certainly deserving. Victor Hedman. I like Victor Hedman. I mean, for when I saw them play, I was like, wow, big guy. His second All-Star game. Steve Stamkos, phenomenal player. And I don't know how you would go against Nikita Kucherov as being
right.
an All-Star. I mean, the Lightning are loaded, and it's probably not hurt by the fact that that division just isn't really that good.
Yeah. Like you said, with those four guys really relegating all the other teams to just one, and that hurts a guy, and another young guy, like I said, Charlie McAvoy, we just talked about, unable to crack the lineup because you have to satisfy the Detroit Red Wings and the Ottawa Senators by having a player. So Erik Karlsson, Mike Green taking up those spots, and then Victor Hedman as well. So maybe not a spot for Charlie McAvoy. Bad news for him. You look at the other division. Josh Bailey out of the Islanders has had one heck of a season.
So has Anders Lee, who is not representing.
And so is Matt Barzal, also from the Islanders, who is not represented. John Tavares getting the nod. Maybe another thing. Another guy having a great season and more name recognition as well.
Only
certainly
one
can't argue, though, John Tavares. I mean, John Tavares is certainly deserving. But then you look at the other great story, the New Jersey Devils.
Only one player?
Only one player, just Taylor Hall.
Now, they're more of a team, so I guess it's kind of hard to pick multiple guys where, you know, you're like, oh, well, they have a superstar. They don't really have a superstar. They have a lot of guys who are just really playing well together. And, you know, I'm all right with them only having the one guy. But, you know, I think when you look at some of the other guys, it's like, you know, maybe it's an all-star game. I've never been a fan of every team needs to be represented. And certainly when you look at some of the other guys on all these teams, there's probably more deserving guys.
I'm okay with all the teams being represented. It's a little odd to me that there's so few guys, though. Like, I would like to see at least three lines. I mean, you're going to play 3-on-3. Like, have 9 forward. You know, have more than just... I don't know. I mean, I guess with 3-on-3, you have to have it. You do have 3 lines, but why not have maybe 4 lines?
Well, and the team that you followed previous to this season, only one player represented, Artemi Panarin, not there. Seth Jones certainly deserving of being there, but you know, Panarin not there, and you know, he's another guy who maybe should be.
But with the question marks of, you know, you don't want to make sure the guys aren't getting hurt and whatnot. You know, like, why not maybe just add 3 more guys, and so you can have 4 lines of 3. As opposed to.
Yeah, certainly.
You know, it's one way to fix it, but William Karlsson, maybe he will get in as an alternate. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the All-Star Game and Fan Fest coming up, but we've got those tickets to give away. If you want to go and see the Edmonton Oilers when they come to town on Saturday the 13th.
Get to see All-Star Connor McDavid.
That's right. In honor of Wild Bill, we'll take caller number 22. 22, you're going to go see 702.
I was afraid you were going 71.
1340. 702-876-1340. Caller number 22. You're going to go see the Oilers and the Golden Knights right here on the Vegas Golden Knights. Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome in Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Chris Chapman. Sitting in, and if you like that music, Chapman, they're going to be the All-Star Game, right? Who is that?
That is Fitz and the Tantrums. I actually enjoy Fitz and the Tantrums. Good band. The song is called The Walker.
The Walk. Fitz and the Tantrums announced as the All-Star Band. Going to give a concert, and the Vegas Golden Knights going to have a little party of their own, Chris, over the weekend on Sunday. At the Fremont Street Experience from 3 to 5, they're going to have a fan fest. Right there outside of the D along the 3rd Street stage, there's going to be a shooting cage so you can take your shot at the net, shoot some pucks around. There's going to be some music, going to be Chance going to be down there. You get your picture taken.
Ah, Chance. Little show Chance will be there. That sounds very cool.
Yeah, and Frank and I will be there. We will be outside the D.
That's more important than Chance.
Yeah,
I think.
So come on by and say hello, and it'll be always good times to mingle with the crowd, but 3 to 5 at the Fremont Street Experience just outside of the D by the 3rd Street stage. The red carpet event going to start Casino Center Drive, so meet some of the players. Like I said, meet Chance, meet the folks that are making this whole thing happen. Should be a good time. You going to make it down there, Chris?
I may or may not. I'm not sure yet. I may be heading up to the mountain, so we'll see.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, if you do, swing on by the 3rd Street stage and say hi to Frank and I.
Yes, well, of course. Will you guys be up on stage?
I don't know. We haven't gotten our itinerary yet.
I hope so.
So we will see what it is in store for us. Golden Knights still on the bye week. Just a couple more days till hockey. Remember, 4 o'clock, City National Arena on Friday. The boys are back at practice, and then it is game time on Saturday, the 13th, against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. 7 o'clock for the puck drop, 6:30 for your pregame show intermission report. And the postgame show as well, live from the Beer House. Frank and I will be there all the way. Chris Chapman will be in the locker room. Stick around. TC Martin, the doctor, is next.